Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back. Let's talk about the need for a second opinion. Now, when I say a second opinion, I'm talking about reevaluating how your investments are doing and how the advice is going that you're getting. And whenever I talk about this, I'm always reminded, and my mom does this for me sometimes, reminded to be gentle and kind and not to be too rough. And I always am mindful of that. And I do want to be respectful of other advisors because there's a lot of great advisors in this country who do good work for their clients. But sometimes people don't get the best advice. And there it is. I'm just going to have to put it out there for you. Now, when I was in high school, the guidance counselor that I went to, she had a plaque on the wall and it read something like this: "You don't have to put out another man's flame for people to see yours." And I agree, and that made an impression on me. But at the same time, I need you to know that there are times when you may need to make a change. You have to do what's best for you, period. You don't have to do what's best for somebody else. You know, loyalty is a great thing. Patience is a great thing. Understanding is a great thing. But at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. Now, to do that, you need to know where you are. And so I've written about this. I've talked about this. But I think it's always good to review. And I've had a couple of situations come up recently that really got me thinking about the need for a second opinion. So let's get in a little bit to this. And there's some signs that maybe can be clues to you that perhaps it's time for that second opinion to occur. First and foremost, probably is communication. When you communicate and have a relationship with an advisor, that ability to interact and be on the same page, so to speak, is really important. Now, here are a couple of warning signs or things to be on the lookout for, or just things that you should be cognizant of. First, with communication, do the calls you make to the advisor go straight to voicemail? Okay, and when you call, do you always go into voicemail, or is there an actual office and does somebody answer? And you know, I know that sounds kind of basic, but I'll give you an example. On social media, I had another advisor reach out to me. He had written or read some of the things I'd written lately, and had seen a couple things that piqued his interest, and he wanted to talk with me and get my opinion about how he ought to market his services, reach out to people more effectively. And so I sent him a reply email and said, "Sure, I'd be happy to talk to you." And I tried to give him a call. And when I called him, my call went straight to voicemail. So my coaching to him is going to be, well, okay, here's a tip. Don't have all your calls for providing services to clients. That's definitely not the way to start a relationship with a prospective client, to have a call come in and it goes straight to voicemail. So that's kind of basic, but when you call, do your calls get returned promptly? You know, industry studies have found that most people, most investors, most retail investors, and I can understand this completely as a customer for other services myself, most people expect to have the call returned within 24 hours. If it takes a lot longer than that, and if there's not a good explanation, you know, hey, David's on vacation this week, he can give you a call when he's back. Can somebody else help you? What are you looking for? What do you need? You know, that's a very understandable way of doing business. But if you call and there's no return call for a week or two, and, you know, that's kind of obvious, I suppose. So the other one is, when you call and ask questions of your advisor, does the advisor have to double check every single time before they get back with you? You know, is they always got to check with somebody else? There's a potential for things to get lost in translation. And so if you're getting that might be another indicator that you maybe need to have a second opinion or a double check on what you're doing. The other is, does your advisor disclose all fees and expenses? Do they tell you how they're compensated forthrightly? Do they explain very clearly how the fees work? I had a recent prospective client come in and ask for a second opinion. And one of the reasons they asked for this second opinion is because they had met with their advisor and the advisor could not tell them the fees that the the investor was paying on a particular portfolio with certain investments. And they had asked more than once. And the advisor said, yeah, I'll get back to you on that. I'll have that information for you the next time we get together. And they never were able to give the investor that information. Now, I got to tell you, that's pretty basic. How does the advisor know whether or not that's a good investment for you if they don't know what the fees are? Because that's one of the jobs of an advisor, in my opinion, is to, and it definitely is if the advisor is taking on a fiduciary responsibility, is to know what the fees are and to be making recommendations that are best for you, the client. And part of doing that is knowing what the things cost. So how can it be a good recommendation if you don't know what the fees are? That seems contrary or inconsistent. So the reality here is that we all have a gut check or a gut instinct or whatever you want to call it. And so listen to that inner voice. If it doesn't seem that your advisor has a good handle on what's going on with your portfolio, isn't able to clearly articulate exactly how the fees work, is less than forthright, and maybe a little bit shy or awkward about their compensation, these could all be clues that it's time for a second opinion. You know, in other areas of our life, we are not nearly as tolerant about that lack of straightforwardness as we may be when it comes to financial advice and in looking at the cost of investing. I think maybe part of that is because it's kind of a taboo or awkward thing for us. You know, we have no problem asking what is it going to cost for somebody to change the oil in our car. If you go traveling in another city or another country and you go to get into a taxi, you ask what's it going to cost to get from here to there, because we know to do that. Well, I think we should do the same thing when it comes to getting investment advice. What's it going to cost me to get from here to there? Where am I trying to go? And I'm a big believer that all of that should be disclosed in writing. And if somebody is uncomfortable putting it in writing, what does that tell you? It's not a mystery. It's not difficult. All of this information is readily available. The cost of, for example, of a portfolio of mutual funds, within minutes, an advisor can know what those costs are. There are software packages. There are resources that are available. You can do it yourself, but that's not your job. If you're working with an advisor, it's their job to know what those costs are, to be able to explain them to you very clearly. And if they can't, again, not to belabor the point, but if they can't, then something is a real big disconnect, because these things are all part of the evaluation that an advisor should be able to give you. Now, sometimes there's another part of this. There is a lack of, maybe not attention necessarily to detail, but there could be a lack of options available to the advisor based on where they work. So if an advisor, I had this the other day, an advisor actually works for the company that offers a portfolio of mutual funds. In effect, this advisor was working for the mutual fund family. And so that advisor was only allowed, per the nature of the employment relationship, to recommend those funds. Now, to his credit, he actually told the prospective client that that was a limitation. I applaud that. However, there is that limitation to be aware of. So these are the things to know, things to be on the lookout for that may trigger a need for a second opinion so that you can plan your financial future and plan it stronger.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary, a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, are you a fiduciary? Yes or no? If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
So I've got another set of clues for you that maybe it's time for a second opinion. And this one, these are really, really important. The first clue, it may be time to get a second opinion on your finances, is if you have unusual investment performance. And so what do I mean by that? Well, let's say that the overall stock market, S&P 500, the Dow, whatever major index you want to look at, you want to look at a total market index, whatever it is, if that overall indicator of the market's performance for, say, a given year goes up 10%, and your portfolio goes down 10%, that is probably a pretty good indicator that something is rotten in Denmark. Something is not right. And so I'm not suggesting that your stock-based portfolio, if you have an equity-based portfolio, should be in lockstep like those parade of soldiers you see marching down the street on television. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm also not going to tell you that a portfolio should always be built to match the stock market or even work exactly the same way. If you have a diversified portfolio that includes bonds, commodities, real estate, all these other things, then it should not move in lockstep. What I'm referring to is if you've got a portfolio that is designed to be a growth portfolio, that is designed to be equity-based, and is intended to be a long-term accumulation vehicle for you, maybe to serve as the funding for a future purchase or expenditure, or to serve as a hedge against inflation, then you should expect a general same direction movement. So if your portfolio goes down 10 while the market's going up 10, that again is probably an indicator that something's not right. Now, what might cause that? Well, there are several things, and I've got a list for you. Number one, the portfolio is poorly diversified. You've got a couple of, say, major holdings, and those individual holdings don't do well. So let's say you've got four stocks that represent 70% of the portfolio, and then the rest of the portfolio is made up of maybe some mutual funds. Well, if just one of those stocks does badly, or more than one of them, you could see some serious losses while the market still goes up. Other indicators, it could be that your investment funds in general, maybe you do have a diversified portfolio of funds, but let's say that the advisor doesn't pay attention closely enough, or whatever the case may be, and those funds, they slip in terms of their performance. They no longer are 4 or 5 star rated mutual funds from Morningstar. Maybe they now are 1 and 2 star rated funds. Well, that could be an explanation on why your portfolio is lagging the overall market or even moving in a different direction. And another one that's on my big pet peeve list is high fees. If you are paying 3 or 4% a year or some other high fee amount, then that could definitely drag on your portfolio. Bear in mind that the average mutual fund, if you take all of the mutual funds that are available in the marketplace and you push the average button, the average cost per year, even though you don't see it, is about 1.4% per year. So if your portfolio is costing 3 or 4%, not only what the funds charge, but also the charge from the advisor, then that can really add up and that could drag on your portfolio. The other thing is, could be if your portfolio is being churned, where there are repeated sales commissions being generated for the broker or his firm or her firm, and that is putting a drag on your portfolio. I've seen that where there have been changes in the portfolio, and I've scratched my head and said, I don't really understand why we're making all these changes. And what we find is it's really the result of the advisor trying to generate commissions. I mean, that does, I just have to call it like it is there. Now, I don't see that often, but when we see it, it can also be a significant drag on the portfolio. So that's the first set of things that could be an indicator, is that your portfolio is lagging or moving in unexpected direction. Now, the other one, which may surprise you, and I need to explain, is that you have consistently good performance. You say, hey, wait a minute, David, that sounds good to me. I'll take that. Well, before you say yes to that and sign up, be careful what you wish for, because you could end up like Walter. Now, who's Walter? Well, Walter's a made-up name for an actual person that came in to see me a few years back. And Walter came in, He was a couple of years away from his planned retirement date, and wisely, Walter wanted to get a second opinion, a confirmation about his plans for retirement, maybe get a little help on how much he could reasonably withdraw from his accounts, maybe do some repositioning to make his more aggressive portfolio that he had had to make it more conservative, to make it more income-oriented as opposed to growth-oriented. The financial industry calls that the accumulation phase, which is when you're putting the money away and as your funds are invested more aggressively. And then we call it the distribution or deaccumulation or depletion or controlled depletion phase on the back end when you're drawing money. Well, so Walter came in, asked me to review what was going on, and he was very proud. His portfolio had done very, very well and had done so consistently. And actually, his average return that he shared with me was about 18% per year. That's unheard of. And so I was very curious to understand how the advisor was achieving these kinds of consistently high returns. His statements weren't really complete. They weren't real clear. He had performance reports that the advisor had provided to him that the advisor had created, but a report from the actual company holding the account, the custodian, wasn't really complete. So I asked him to get back with me, get the statements, let's review it. A couple months went by, I didn't hear from him, and then a story broke in the paper that there had been a big scam. You knew it was coming, right? And Walter had been a victim of that scam. There was no 18% returns. His account did not exist or had been depleted. And Walter thought he had $1 million for retirement. And he had nothing for retirement. Horrible, sad, heartbreaking. I don't understand why people do what they do. This person, the advisor, had scammed Walter and other people out of their hard-earned money. Now, the warning sign to you is if you see outsized, just too good to be true performance, it just is unheard of and almost always is associated with a scam. So that is probably as good of a sign as you can get that something is not right. Now, again, follow your instincts, listen to your gut. And when you hear of something like that, or you see something like that, I really think you have to be careful. It's just not realistic to expect that type of performance. Now, advisors can make good recommendations. They can position you well, trying to time the market, trying to be a prognosticator of what's going to happen and to position your portfolio. That can occur. Advisors can have expectations about what's going to happen. But to tell you that they can have consistently high returns is just really stretching it. And so a good sign that it's time to get a second opinion so that you can plan stronger.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com.
All right, one more set of clues for you about whether or not you need a second opinion. Now, again, advisors do a good job. Advisors do a great job. I just want to caution you that if you see certain things, that it's time to get a second opinion. And you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen? You're on the right track, you get validation and confirmation that what you're doing is working, and you can be at peace. That's good. All right, so here's some more clues. If the advisor all of a sudden does an about face, they've been recommending XYZ company for years. Whatever mutual fund, whatever financial product, maybe it's an insurance or annuity, and they've been recommending it And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they say they've got to make a change. They want to recommend ABC company. My question or my recommendation for you is why? Why the about face? Why the change? Now, there are a lot of very good reasons for an advisor to change their recommendation, to change the company that they would suggest to you. But there could be something else going on. So here are some questions. Why, and they're very straightforward. The key, of course, is you have to ask, why are you no longer recommending XYZ company? Open-ended question, let them answer and watch the response. Watch their eyes. Keep your eyes on their eyes. Number two, why are you now recommending ABC company? Why has this change occurred? Why? What selection processes you use when you determine that XYZ wasn't good for me anymore and that I should look at ABC? How did you arrive at ABC company? Did you look at a bunch of other companies? Talk to me about your selection process. How did you make this shift? Will I have to pay a fee to get out of XYZ company if you're telling me to move away from that? Will I pay a fee going into ABC company? In other words, are there transaction costs? And will you, my advisor, be compensated for making this change? Nobody's expected to work for free, but why are you making this change and what is the benefit to me? And then what is the benefit to you? Not difficult questions. Now, I had not long ago a client come in, a prospective client come in, and I give second opinions all the time, and I don't charge to do it because I need to see where somebody is before I can evaluate whether I can help them or not. So this woman came in. She was a little uncomfortable with some of the changes the advisor wanted to make and had made on her accounts because this was the situation. The advisor had been recommending the same company for years. In fact, I know of the advisor and I know that he recommends the same company very often to everybody. And then all of a sudden, there was this shift and she had shown me the shift that he had made and I had heard through the grapevine. I knew who the both companies were, the one that he was recommending before and the one being recommended now. And I know for a fact that the compensation to that advisor is about 0.5% more for the new company versus the old company. There it is. That was the primary motivation. The companies were very similar. The product was very similar, but all of a sudden, there was this shift. So sometimes the reason is right in front of us. People can be very motivated, and financial people can be very motivated by the compensation they receive. It's an ugly reality or truth of the world we live in that folks are, advisors and other people are motivated by their compensation. I'm not saying the advisor shouldn't be compensated. I'm only asking you to think about that motivation and to ask questions. And again, if you are asking an advisor to disclose their compensation in writing to you, there won't be this mystery or wonder on your part. And there are things happening in the financial industry that I think eventually will make this a more consistent thing where the regulators will get to a point where they hold advisors, all advisors, to a higher standard. If you're paying somebody a fee to manage your money, they are acting in a fiduciary capacity. But if you are working with somebody who is making product recommendations to you, be it annuities or mutual funds or something like that, a real estate investment trust or any of these packaged products, often they are acting in a sales capacity. They're not acting in a fiduciary work for you capacity. So it's especially important to ask questions about compensation and the reason for the recommendation when you're working with an advisor on those things. So if, for example, an advisor is recommending an annuity to you, you need to ask, talk to me about why this particular annuity. Which companies can you work with? How many companies are you set up to do business with? How often do you change your recommendations? How many people get this product that you are recommending? How long have you been working with this company? Have you ever been to their home office? Okay, I know I'm getting on my soapbox here, but if you're counting on that advisor to make recommendations to you and you're going to trust them to advise and invest your life savings, come on. You need to ask questions and don't be bashful, okay? Be awkward for a little bit so that you are experiencing regret for the rest of your life. And I've had people come in and ask me for a second opinion, and they knew something wasn't quite right, and they come in, and unfortunately, often enough, I have to validate their concern that, you know what? No, this was not the right product for you, or you know what? The product doesn't work the way you thought it did. And so just be an advocate. Now, there are a lot of other things that could cause you to want a second opinion. I've got time for one more. The advisor has something going on with their own personal situation that is a clue that maybe you need to make a change or at least reevaluate where you are. Advisors get to retire. Advisors sometimes have personal health issues. They become disabled. And unfortunately, just like everybody else on this planet, advisors also die. These are all events that may cause you to take the opportunity to reevaluate. Retirement, disability, and death are three reasons for you to say, you know what? Now is a time for me to reevaluate. Somebody else is going to be assisting you at some point in those three scenarios. It's your opportunity. It is your obligation to yourself to reevaluate and determine if the next person that is at that firm is going to be able to help you. It's not unusual for a brokerage firm, for example, to have these advisor teams where there's two or three advisors that work together to work with a group of clients. And if the one you've been working with is going to retire or something has happened to them and you're going to be needing to work with the other folks in that group, boy, now's the time not only to evaluate what they will do for you and talk to them about their plans for you and your portfolio and your finances, but also to say, you know what? Now's a good time for me to double check. I'll go to an independent advisor and I will double check what's been going on with the portfolio. Look at how those investments have been doing. Get that fresh perspective, because if you're going to be recommitting to the new advisor at the firm where the other advisor has been working or where the advisor is retiring from, then you'll have a better sense. And if your advisor says, look, I'm going to be retiring in a year or two, get that second opinion. Be prepared that when the advisor does retire, you can make a switch if you need to. I'm not saying you have to do it right away, but these are the things to think about. These are the clues to help you be ready for these situations. And that will help you plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.